Welcome to a special edition of the Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we've gathered together a roundtable of people to discuss the news that Deidre Hall and Drake Hogeston have been fired, what this means for Days of Our Lives, who else might be next, all this and much, much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Nelson, welcome.
Hello.
TV Guide Canada's Nelson Branco, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me on, you guys.
Jamie, as always, welcome.
Hello.
Mike, welcome.
Hi.
And former Days of Our Lives writer Tom Cosiello, welcome.
Hello. We all have to stop meeting like this, by the way.
Yes, we really do.
We keep getting dragged into these calls, you know. We really need to stop.
It's like the only time we get together is when bad things happen.
Exactly.
This is not a good thing.
There's always YNR.
I was thinking, how many podcasts does it take to like bring down this industry?
Hey, there is no way in hell you are going to blame me for the demise of this industry. I refuse to accept blame.
Like Tom said, we have to stop meeting like this. Jesus, we've had like, you know, what, 10 already, and these emergency podcasts.
This is an emergency podcast brought to you by Daytime Confidential.
The podcast you thought you'd never hear.
The rest of the world is going to hell in a handbasket over the financial crisis. Meanwhile, Daytime Confidential is taking on the Days of Our Lives crisis.
Which one?
Yeah. So many to start with.
Allison's on maternity leave, so everything just went to hell in a handbasket.
Well, she's not. I called Days today. She's not on maternity leave yet, and they won't give me a date because I wanted to know if she's going to be gone when Deidre and Drake are gone. I mean, they're there till January, apparently. I know I'm getting ahead of ourselves here, but she's not. She's still working, and they don't know when she's, you know, they're probably going to get
her. She might pop that sucker out at Horton House.
Yeah.
Now,
I bet you that's what they're going to do.
For those who may not be aware, and in which case you've probably been living under a rock,
have a life, that too.
I don't have a life. I fully admit that. Over this last weekend, rumors surfaced that Drake Hogeston had been let go. Those rumors, Nelson published in the Suds Report. We published the fact that these rumors were going around on Daytime Confidential. On Monday, Soap Opera Digest officially confirmed that he was out, and they also announced to the world that Deidre Hall is out. The quote that they had was the
well,
couple...
we all announced it first, and they ran to the
yes,
magazines
exactly.
to confirm it like they always do.
They officially confirmed it, but those of us online already had an inkling of what was going on and were already publishing and talking about it. This was the official quote that Ken Corday gave Soap Opera Digest. The couple will be
over
happily...
drinks.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Okay. However he gave it to them, it could have been on the back nine of a golf course, it could have been over drinks, it could have been from Hawaii. For all we know, we don't know. This is the quote. The couple will be happily reunited after a long period of angst and separation and will be off screen after January for an unknown period of time. Now, he leaves himself a little bit of wiggle room in the context of making it sound like they might come back, but you don't get rid of someone like Deidre Hall and might come back. Tom, initial reaction.
My initial reaction, I don't know why anybody's really surprised. I've been saying ever since I was first outed last year that the big four had to be back burner, that the show couldn't afford them anymore. That's why we had that whole Tinda Lau mess. That's why we had John in a coma for so long. I've been saying it forever now. And you know, some people chose to believe me, and others kept saying, well, Hogan Sheffer, that hack, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't know how to write story for John and Marlena. And the thing is, it doesn't matter whether you know how to or not. We weren't allowed to. We couldn't do it. So honestly, was I surprised? No, not at all. I wasn't surprised in the slightest by it. And I know a lot of people are really angry and really upset, and they have every right to be. But that show is creaking underneath the weight of these salaries, and they have for quite some time now. They've barely been managing to get by, and when they're getting by extremely over budget. And you know, it was coming. It was definitely coming, and there's going to be a lot more. And I'm sorry for that. Like, it sucks, and it's awful, and you guys should be really pissed off.
No, but yeah. I have a question, though, to ask you, because, I mean, the contracts was something that most of the people were aware of. I mean, the Big Four, their contracts, it's well known that they have hefty paychecks. But from my standpoint as a fan, losing Deidre Hall – it's like losing Susan Lucci or Eric Braden.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely agree. And I totally see that.
In podcasts before, I said if whatever happens to this show, there will be two people who are assured security, Allison Sweeney and Deidre Hall. Damn, if Deidre Hall can't survive on the show, what the hell is going to happen?
It's a sad fact that Allison Sweeney's name would get mentioned that high up on the list either.
Well, I mention it because of the fact that they used her and had her on front burner so much. Nelson, what is your initial reaction to this news?
Well, I sort of agree with Tom. I'm not shocked. I'm a tad surprised. You know, I thought, you know, the speculation was that they were going to get rid of the medium tier salary earners. Like, you know, I mean, obviously Days was renewed. Of course there was going to be cutbacks, you know, I think that went without saying, but, you know, I think, you know, you get rid of Deidre. When I first heard the news, I thought, okay, well, they're getting rid of Deidre and Drake. That means they're going to get rid of, I don't know, I'm going to be generous, $4 million a year. That's probably like $1.5, $2 million, I don't know. But so they went right, you know, at the top. And at the end of the day, like Tom said, I mean, we can't use them anyway, even if they're on salary. I mean, Marlene has been in what? Like, Frances Reed's been on the show more than Deidre Hall has been this past year. So, I can see, you know, Corday's, you know, thinking and his strategy and his logic. I personally think that, you know, he's run amok and he's destroyed the show, and now the star of the show, Deidre Hall, has to pay for his mismanagement is an epitude. So it's just like, you know, yeah. So I'm surprised, not shocked. And that was like, and my other reaction was, well, Eric Braden's not going to be on the cover of Soap Opera Digest this week.
Roger Newcomb will be extremely excited that for the first time in forever, Eric Braden will not be on the cover.
I think Roger Newcomb fired Deidre Hall.
Now, Mike, you are the newest Days of Our Lives viewer among us. As a new viewer, what does these firings mean to you?
Well, to me, I would consider Deidre Hall the face of the show, and the fact that as a short-term fan, when you watch the news come out that the show's been renewed, and then you find out that it's ditching its two most popular stars, it just seemed kind of strange to me. I mean, maybe I'm not as well connected as Tom and Nelson, so I feel more of a shock or a surprise about it. I really feel that I don't know how they're going to retain their viewers if they are going to send their most popular couple off into the sunset with that dangling string that they may or may not come back. I really think it's a little insulting to say that they might come back, because the two actors are certainly capable enough to find other work and probably won't be sitting around waiting for the phone to ring. This is the couple that they constantly put out front to manipulate people that watch them. And it's, you know, always John and Marlena will get this good story. Just be patient. Just wait, you know, and it always happens and nothing ever comes of it. These two really haven't had much of anything to do for the time that I've been watching. I came on board when Hogan Sheffer came on because I wanted to see what he would do with the show. So I don't know. I mean, I just think it's going to be difficult for people to stay on board with the show when their two favorite characters are leaving.
Well, and speaking of magazine covers, once these two are gone, does Days of Our Lives even have a chance to get another magazine cover? But Jamie, I want to set up the next question. You can answer your initial reaction and then move into the next question. What will happen to ratings? Take your initial reaction first and then segue that into ratings.
My initial reaction with Drake was, here we go again, because they did it before, With Deirdre, I thought, it's over. It's done. Put a nail in the show. Put a nail in the coffin. There was a reason the cast of Friends got paid got paid that enormous salary. It's because they were that popular. It's not these actors' fault that no one can figure out how to write for these people. And I know, like, Corday holds their hand, so I'm not talking about the situation with Hogan. But what's Dina's excuse? You know, what is her excuse? And every day there's a new casting call at Days. You can't tell me that they couldn't gut 10 people to keep those two. You can't tell me that they couldn't get rid of Tao Pangles and Leanne Hunley and Josh Taylor and love her to death, but even Lauren Coslow. I would have cut all day long before I even got near those people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is ridiculous. You don't kill off Meredith on Grey's Anatomy. You don't kill off Roseanne on Roseanne. They're idiots, and this show is going to be canceled for it. My next thing, the ratings probably will initially spike because people will tune in to go, what the fuck? And then after it's all said and done and that they're really gone, the ratings will free fall. Then Corday will run and try to bring them back, and it'll be too late. It'll be like Another World. It'll be like what Guiding Light is in now. The show is over.
One thing about Drake, he got fired twice in 1 year, but at least he's not Renee Jones, who got fired 3 times in 1 year.
Well, I love Renee, but Renee is no Drake Hogan.
Oh, well, I'm not comparing them, but I'm just saying the poor woman got fired 3 times in 1 year.
This is like, I mean, I love Luke and Laura, but this is the most popular couple in daytime since the 90s. Maybe arguably Sonny and Brenda, but they don't get any more popular since 92, 93 than John and Marlena.
Oh, I will agree.
It's soap opera suicide.
I also think, though, I have to say that I don't want to say that soap fans are short-sighted, but I don't even think they'll tune in for the short term. When the magazines and the spoilers come out about their big last week or their reunion or however they're going to write them out, that's when they're going to tune in. So they'll get I think they'll get more of a bump for their exit more than they will to watch the rest of their time till they're gone in January or whatever it is.
So you're predicting that ratings might actually fall once the word comes out and then spike up somewhat once they're on their last days.
Yeah, because you can be a casual watcher and keep up by reading spoilers or watching or, you know, being in the supermarket and looking at the magazine covers while you're waiting there to cash out. I mean, I think you can just kind of plan how you want to watch, and if you were a fan of them and you're like, oh, wow, gee, I hate to see them go, I'll just kind of tune in for that, and that'll be the end of it. I mean, these are not people that have been watching all along. They kind of tune in when something big is happening, and that's kind of a big thing to watch them ride off. So I don't know.
Tom, what's your take on how this will affect the ratings?
Well, I mean, I think the ratings across the board are a big joke. I don't think you can gauge anything on them, unfortunately. But I do think – see, I keep thinking back to last year after we killed John off, and we saw a little tiny spike in end of November, beginning of December. And, you know, I have no idea what that's from. It could be because, you know, half the country was snowed in, so they were watching TV during the day, or it could be because they like the story. I mean, who knows why the ratings spiked, but I'd like to think it's because, you know, even though people were pissed off about John's death, that Marlena was, you know, pissed off and she wasn't going to take it anymore, and people were going to tune in to see that. Like, oh my, Marlena's going to raise hell, we want to see this. I don't really know if we're going to see a spike with that. I think we might see a spike for those last 2 days, but I think that's it. I don't think we're going to see, especially because Ken gave it away what was going to happen, that they were going to have this reunion and ride off into the sunset together. Well, you know, people will tune in for that one day maybe, but it doesn't sound to me like it's going to be this blockbuster story that's going to keep people, you know, glued to their TVs. It just sounds like – it kind of sounds like the Sean Bell reunion.
Oh, God.
Where within 3 days he'll get his memory back and they'll get remarried in the Brady Pub and then leave, like, and that'll be the end of it. Like, I don't know. Like, that's what it sounds like. It seems like a very lackluster ending. And I could be totally wrong. What the hell do I know? But I don't know. I don't know if the ratings are going to spike as much because there isn't as much of an excitement about it. You know, at least with John's death, as angry as they were, there was a sense of, like, you know. You know, hell hath no fury like Marlena scorned. And here, there's no payoff. They're just going to leave together. Like
Nelson?
Gary and Austin did, like, you know.
Oh, sorry. Nelson, what's your take on the ratings?
on the rating situation, I agree with Tom again. It's like I don't trust the rating system. I don't know, it could go up. I mean, Days is the only soap that has not lost any viewers this past year. Explain that to me. When you know Molly Burnett is headlining the show, and it's a sad day when someone like Molly Burnett, if that's her name,
who
exactly?
Yeah, like I don't even like. I refuse to remember people like hair model names like Aaron Sanders or Molly Burnett. She has a job, and Deidre Hall got fired. So you know they've not lost no rate. So I've been talking to insiders all day today, and you know people are like, well, you know it's weird because Dave hasn't lost any viewers this past year, and then they're you know now they're firing their superstars, which really has never happened before. And yes, soaps in the past fired, you know, George Reinholdt on Another World and Brenda Dixon on YNR, and they were the superstars of their day. But there was always, like, some backstage scandal, you know? So this is really kind of the first time a superstar. I mean, Jeannie Francis, Victoria Rowell, they all left on their own, you know, with their own volition. And so this
Yeah, but they had the stories to back it up, though. Like, once those people were off the show, The other storylines, they had other storylines on the show to back it up, to fill in that gap.
Right. But this is still, like, what I'm saying, this is a pretty historic, like, firing because, you know, no one's ever fired an Eric Braden, Susan Lucci, or Deidre Hall. Drake, you know, I'm not putting him in that same level for sure. But, I mean, of course, he's, you know, a superstar to be sure. I'm not even going to predict the ratings. I'm not even going to go there. People are starting to ask if this is another ratings stunt, publicity stunt.
That's what I was going to go to next.
And let's, Okay, go.
Perfect segue. What do you think, or do you think, that this is another kill everybody off and send him to an island, kill John off and bring him back? What's your guys' take, Nelson?
I don't think that this that's what's happening. I don't even think Ken Corday is that stupid to do, you know. I think, you know, he's obviously going to marry them off and send them off to, I don't know, find Eric and join P-Flag or something. And then I think he has every intention. What I've been telling everyone today is, like, I know, you know, if the ratings go down, he's going to crawl back and ask them to come back. His mistake is the fact that he thinks that they're going to come back, and Drake Hogeson will, because he'll go to another acting class and think he's, you know, Marlon Brando this time and want to come back and tackle John again. But I'm sorry, Jamie and I were talking about this earlier today, and I'm getting Deidre Hall a frickin' job on another soap if I can do it. I'm going to talk to every single person. YNR should get Deidre Hall. They can afford her. They can write for her. Hogan Sheffer can finally write for her, you know, for Hall. So I want her to nab a job before she is even asked to come back. And if Ken Corday thinks someone like Deidre Hall, who can pretty much do whatever she wants right now, is going to come crawling back, you know, I talked to sources close to Hall today, and I'm really hoping to get an interview with her soon, is, you know, she's not happy. You know, the word shameful, not from her mouth, but from sources close to her, you know, this firing has been called shameful, and unforgivable, and the cast found out today, actually. Like, Dave called in, they're like, oh my god, I can't believe you already had it on your website, because I had it up this morning as, you know, a rumor, even though I knew Drake was happening for sure, but I really couldn't, you know, confirm the Hall firing, and I didn't even want to, you know, that was just something you don't even want to touch. And then, you know, by noon I had it up. So people were, the cast found out today, and they're deeply, like, they're completely shocked. Everyone is worried for their job. You know, Jamie reported on Daytime Confidential today that, we have to expect more of the same. So, you know, are they going to get rid of Peter Reckle and Christian Alfonso? Because Mary Beth Evans and Stephen Nichols love them to death. They're great people. I get along with them. Great actors, but I would have fired them first. You know, they can work elsewhere. They would be scooped up easily.
And the magic didn't happen again. It's like, I would have, you never would have made me believe, because at a time, Patch and Kayla were bigger than John and Marlena or Bo and Hope. But they waited too long. 16 years was too long for their fans to come back. Their return has been a bust. So, yeah, I mean, why wouldn't they have gotten rid of Steve and Mary Beth and Teo and Leanne and Josh and Lauren to keep John and Marlena and finally write something for them?
It's like, you know, that's the thing. It's like you have Drake and Deidre on your show, but it's like you can only work Deidre so many days. And so, I mean, I don't know, maybe when Drake
But you know,
back,
like even what
know?
Tom said about Jensen Buchanan, I mean, she was on 2 days a week and she was on the front burner of Another World. I think they use that as an excuse. They could work. I mean, Victoria Rao did 2 days a week for her last year of her contract, too. If
yeah,
they're creative.
This is Corday. He's mismanaged his finances.
Right. And
mean,
well, no, that's what I'm saying.
Look,
these people
to pay, you know,
they come up with something.
Excuse.
They're paid millions of dollars to figure that kind of stuff out.
Tom, I want to get your thoughts on this. Is this a ploy? And do you think that it's mismanagement that is requiring
this? First of all, it's not a ploy because it never was a ploy because there isn't that much, I, you know. So I forgive me for being cynical. There isn't that much manipulation and thought put into it. I'm not sure there's that much manipulation and thought going on over there at that studio. it's not a ploy. It isn't a. It's flying by the seat of your pants. It's living in panic and fear at all times. It's, oh, my God, we can't afford this. Quick, you have to cut them. I mean, I told you guys the story of last year when Hogan got that phone call saying, get rid of the Lockharts, get rid of the Carvers, play the Big Four 1 day a week. I mean, literally the day before it was like, oh, we love your long story. It's amazing. And the next day it was, quick, don't write anybody anymore. You know, we decided to kill John. And then the next, 2 weeks later, Ken freaks out. We can't kill John. We can't kill John. The fans are going to revolt. Bring him back. It's the reason why Stefano never died and he never found a body, because it's this constant, like, state of panic. So I don't think it is a ploy. Do I think they might be asked back in the future? Sure, of course, because there'll be another panic when the ratings drop, and there's no long-term plan here. There's never a long-term. I don't know when the last time there was a long-term plan for this show, but it hasn't been quite some time.
If it's any consolation, I have a theory about what's going on. In the Variety article, they basically gave it 18 months. There was going to have to be on-screen concessions and target ratings met. Now that we're seeing who's being cut, in previous episodes, I'm not sure which episodes, but I know we've discussed this before. We've talked about whether or not Brian Franz would pick up this show, whether it be for SoapNet or ABC. Here's my theory. My theory is that Corday got himself an 18-month reprieve, in which time he has basically got to strip this show, get it down to a core of demographically appealing characters, and is going to suffer huge publicity nightmares because of it, but it will set it up perfectly for Franz to come in and buy out the skeleton of it, of what exists, and basically save Franz from being responsible for having to fire the Big Four. And then it will end up on SoapNet or ABC.
I don't think there's that much thought put into this. I got to be honest.
Well, that's my theory. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but it just seems a little bit too coincidental that this is all happening the way it is. Any your guys' takes on the theory?
Do you guys think that it's a little strange that they didn't try to renegotiate with them, that they just fired them outright?
Well, that's the thing. We don't know that yet. You know, I don't know. I mean, who knows what happened behind closed doors? I mean, maybe they did ask. I don't know. I mean, that's just speculation that maybe they did ask them to. I doubt it, though. I mean, because, I mean, if their salaries are that astronomical, and who allowed it to get that way? Ken Corday. I mean, you know, this man needs to take a break from the golf course and manage his parents' fucking show that they left him. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, no, I think that they just – yeah, I think that they got the deal. NBC said you got to make changes quick. And they – idiots that they are, they said, well, we got to cut from the top.
Yeah, and we have to deal with 18 months of this crap.
Well,
I
and I think – I also think I also think that they looked at the ratings for November sweeps and they said, we are getting the same numbers we got last year, and it's been all Nick and Melanie all the time. So no matter what people on Daytime Confidential say, no matter what people on any of the message boards say who are bitching and moaning about how they've taken over the show, it clearly hasn't affected the ratings right now. So they're
well,
thinking
they
we don't need them.
Over the show. Clearly Daniel and Chelsea have this, you know, huge following because young girls falling in love with older men who could be their fathers is clearly a ratings, you know, attraction. I don't know. It's the Olympics. I mean, you could, like you said, it could be anything. You know,
I'm not defending it. I'm just saying since the ratings didn't go down with John and Marlena only on one day a week or one day every 10 days, since the ratings didn't drop, I think they're thinking, you know, clearly they don't have as much of an effect as we think they do.
But why are we striving? But why is this show striving for subpar quality as long as it maintains the ratings? Why are they not taking the risk to try and increase
ratings? That's Hollywood. They don't care. It's not a creative process at Days of Our Lives. It's all about ratings.
Ken Thorne ain't just giving a shit. This is about money. He thought he'd cut two heads off. He took Hall and Hogeson to the Mindoran guillotine and cut their heads off. He's like, whew, okay, I saved $2 to $4 million. Okay. So now I don't have to lose my friend Josh Taylor, and I think he's friends with Mary Beth and Stephen too. And I think he thought, and you know, to give him credit, I mean, it could be, you know, it's probably not the worst strategy ever. I was actually surprised that he actually, you know, thought to do this, like, you know, the easiest, quickest thing. But it's going to have long-term repercussions, which he's clearly, you know, never, ever, ever in his entire career of having a silver spoon up his ass ever thought of. And I was thinking about this earlier today, and I think, isn't it funny because, or sad, or ironic, because like James E. Reilly killed the entire cast of Days of Our Lives a few years ago when Days was probably, you know, at the last time Days of Our Lives was really great. And I was like, damn, maybe James E. Reilly was more of a genius than I give him credit for. He probably saw the sad realities that were, like, approaching us. And, you know, he killed half the cast and had to bring everyone back. But, you know, maybe had he let certain people die, he would have invested in the new future of Days. And this is Days' problem. They brought all these super couples back, everyone and their mother, including Doug and Julie, back at the same time, or sorry, Hogan did, and you know, what kind of story can you tell? They didn't invest in their younger generation. Yes, they've recasted legacy offspring like, you know, the Horton kid. But, you know, and they've done that with hair models. They didn't find, you know, the Kirsten Storms and the Jason Cooks, you know, or even the Martha Madison, Brandon Beamers. So they've hired all these legacy offsprings characters with hair models, and no one cares about the younger. If I would rather them kill all or just write off all the veteran super couples, Patch Kayla, Bo Hope, John Marlena, and if and focus on New Salem, like the young super couples.
Oh, I think that's where they're going. I think that this will be an 18 to 49 demographic. No one will be over 32 years of age. And the moment you turn 33, you will grow gray hair, end up in a walker, and be sent off to the nursing home in the sky.
Well, see, the problem with that is, though, what Nelson's saying, because that's what GH has gotten flack for. But people hate it all they want. GH has done it better because they have Luke and Laura's kids. They have all these, you know, Jason Quartermain. They're all played by viable, popular people. What he's saying is, look at the Hortons and Brady. It's Chelsea, the baby run-overer. And you know, and the Brady kid that they adopted molesting all his nieces. There's no young – they don't have the same – type of it won't last. I mean, they won't get that model for ABC. This they
and
don't
it's
have.
It's unforgivable because Days could have the best. They have the most iconic super couples. They have, and all of them had kids. You could have Stephanie, you know, Jack and Jennifer's kid, Abby. You could have them all entrenched in these romantic entanglements, and even have, you know, Belle and Sean kind of be the older veteran super couples. And that's sad that I just said that. But yeah, you know. But I think James Reilly may have thought of that back then when he killed all, you know, the vets and was thinking, okay, now it's time to really create, you know, a new chapter in Days' history, and these kids are going to come cheap. I'm starting to think that that man was more of a genius than I ever gave him credit for.
Well, and that's sort of...
He certainly did that in passion. I mean, he's always made sure he had that younger generation brewing. The problem is it takes time to do that, and Days doesn't have that time, you know.
And
they
you're
can't
mentioning...
bring John and Marlena back in you know, next fall because I want to see that contract that, you know, Sony and Corday and NBC negotiated because I'm sure there's a, you know, there's an out there somewhere.
Well, you mentioned James E. Reilly, and that brings us to something that Jamie wanted to bring up for this episode. Jamie?
Well, I just thought it was really ironic, kind of sadly ironic, that shortly after Riley passes, this happens. I mean, he gave Deirdre Hall, I mean, I loved Marlena. I loved the more traditional heroine version of Marlena. I've been watching this show for 30 years, so there's no logic that if you were a Riley fan, you weren't a fan of the classic days. I mean, I've watched it all, and I loved Marlena, always have, but I think Deirdre Hall would say James Riley gave her the work of her career. It might not have been three-dimensional. It might not have been this or that. But you know what? Aaron Spelling kept shows on three networks for 30 years, and he never got critically acclaimed. So there's something to be said about pop just being popular. And Riley wrote popular stories for John and Marlena, and I just can't imagine that Dena Higley can't come up with something. I mean, I know she's a hack, but are you telling me that you can't come up with a storyline for one of the most popular couples in daytime? That you can't come up with a storyline for any of the most popular. This show, like Nelson mentioned, this is Super Couple Central. And she can't come up with a freaking viable storyline for any of them. And she can't come up with any viable storylines for the younger adults. So why is she still being paid and Deirdre Hall is on the unemployment line is what I want to know.
Okay. Tom.
Is that a rhetorical question?
Yes, I think that is a rhetorical question.
I said I wasn't going to be vitriolic tonight. I'm sorry.
Now, Tom, I want to ask you about something, because as a writer, these type of things have to have an impact. The changing of a head writer or the loss of a major star must have an impact on people who are writing the show. I mean, I can't imagine that it wouldn't. What do you, from your perspective, what do you think the climate must be like for Day's writers right now? The people the other writers.
Yeah, from what I'm understanding, the budget is being slashed across the board over there, and there are writers. The writing team is going to get smaller. That's the rumor I'm hearing. So,
they'll cut that from the top, too.
No, I think that's coming from the bottom, unfortunately. I don't know for sure, but I mean, I think they're probably afraid for their jobs as well. I think everybody's been afraid for their jobs ever since, you know, I mean, only three people survived the strike over there. The people from the old team, I should say, before the strike, survived the strike. And they've managed to hang in there. But, you know, otherwise, that team has been, you know, beaten up and kicked around and sworn loyalty to so many different people. I don't think they know which way is up.
Well,
you know, it's one thing. I've worked on shows where we've gotten rid of a major character, and I've thought, ooh, that's bad. Like, this is not going to be good at all. Like, fans are going to be pissed, and this is not going to go well. But, you know, you have to write it, and you don't have a choice in the matter. And you just do it, and when it happens, you either, you know, sit back and say, I told you so, or you don't. I don't know. I think the writers are just as afraid as the actors are right now. I don't know what that team is going to look like 6 months from now.
Well, and I want to follow that up with, I mean, for those who do not know, you wrote John's Funeral last year. What's it like as a writer to go through the process of writing off such a big character like that? Because I know in our previous conversations you said that that meant a lot to you to be able to write those funeral scenes.
Yeah.
What is it going to be like for a writer now to be able to write these scenes if they're done properly? I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt that they will be, but if they are, what's that like?
I mean, from a writing standpoint, some fans might not understand what I'm trying to say here. From a writer's standpoint, it's a dream because look, it wasn't the scriptwriter's decision to write off Drake and Deirdre, okay? But whoever gets assigned their final scripts, if they sit down and they really knock this script out of the park and they give John and Marlena fans one last 36.5-minute episode that they will never forget as long as they live, it could be a wonderful, beautiful, amazing experience. As a writer, as a fan, you know, if you're going to send them out. Right, you know what I mean? If you have to do it, you don't have a choice in the matter, at least do it well. Don't do it half-assed. So if given the opportunity, you just got to put all your personal feelings aside and say, how can I do right by the fans? How can I really, you know, make them somewhat okay with this? I mean, it's an amazing experience. If you really can do it, it's awesome. Like I hated killing John off, but I loved writing his funeral. If that makes sense.
It makes total sense. Makes total sense. Jamie, I think you have a question for Nelson.
Well, I just wanted to know, from a journalist perspective, you've been covering, Nelson, you've been covering this industry since the early 90s. Just having covered so many of these shows that we've seen go up, down, you know, and then finally off, what do you think from a journalist perspective is next for Days? Do you think it can survive this?
Can it survive? I don't know. I mean, Ken Corday was born with a horseshoe up his ass. You know, Days, I mean, soaps are dying. You know, I've always gotten flack saying soaps are dying. This year it's been, you know, it's dying. I mean, Super Soap Weekend, you know, I didn't go this year. People who were there called me and said it was so depressing. The crowds were slim and it was just, you know, sad. And, you know, the industry's dying. Anyone who says it's not dying is certifiable. So Days has another 18 months. It could be on the air for another 3 years till 2011. What if you aired a soap opera and no one showed up? I mean, Days, I think he's – well, it depends. It'll be interesting to see over the next few days. And I hear, you know, the next firings are going to be, you know, imminent. It'll be interesting to see who they fire next, because if they get rid of Peter and Christian, that would be really interesting. If, you know, they get rid of, you know, I've heard James Scott, you know, I mean, and Brian DiTillo and Lauren Coslow. But this whole Deidre and Drake firing decision is really throwing everyone for a loop, because we're like, well, now he's going to go batshit crazy. He may even fire himself. I mean, hopefully. But, you know, he won't fire the actress who's writing the show. I don't know. I think all shows are going to die except for the Bell soaps for the next. Anyway, we've already talked about this in other podcasts. I'll repeat myself. I've never seen a superstar like Deidre Hall, and my superstars are, you know, I list them like Eric Braeden and Susan Lucci and Deidre Hall, and I don't even consider Erica Slezak a superstar. So those are pretty much the three. So this, I mean, Susan Lucci and Eric Braeden are probably, I don't think Eric Braeden's worried. But, you know, I think this news is really going to have an impact on daytime. I think people like Susan Lucci are going to go, holy fuck. I mean, if this can happen to, you know, I think even, you know, and Susan Flannery's been sort of pushed aside in the past year as well. I consider her a superstar. You know, I think this is really going to depress the industry. A lot of the actors, I think people are really scared. I mean, you know, Francis Reed is like, whew, dodged another bullet there. Ken Corday, FedEx needs some donuts, but I didn't eat them this time. I'm not stupid. You know, Francis Reed, God bless her, but no one's going to get rid of her. She's probably the safest person on that show. You know, I've never seen anything like this. Will Days recover? If it had been Drake Hogeston or even Peter and Christian, I think they would maybe perhaps come back. I think Deidre Hall is such a name, such a talent, such an icon that I am convinced that the Bells are going to be on the phone. Maybe not. They have a heavy cast, but the thing is they can afford her. They could write her. Yes, she was on Y&R in like 1971. She played this nobody character named Barbara Anderson. Yes, I had to look that up. But, you know, she could play a slew of characters. She could be in, you know, a number of recasts. It'd be great to have – see, Y&R needs to do this, because Eileen Davidson and Deidre Hall fighting for Eric Braeden, you could – Soap Opera Digest would be happy, because you could have Deidre Hall and Eric Braeden on the cover.
Roger Newcomb. Poor Roger Newcomb would have a commentary.
Come on, Drake Hogeston. You can play Miguel. I mean, you know – it's a huge error. Like, forget about the ratings. Forget about the future of Days, because, you know, that's, you know, the end days are already, you know, they're in sight. But Deidre Hall is such a name that someone is going to get her, and he can't get her back, because I think she must be insulted and pissed off. I mean, this is Deidre fucking Hall. You know,
yeah. And she's been such a company player through all of the crap they've handed her to play. She has never spoken out bad about this bullshit show, and this is how they treat her.
Yep.
Well, and that
she's
going to
have a great tell-all. She's going to have a great tell-all book. And let's not forget that this woman has, like, two relatively young children to support. I mean, she does. I mean, her oldest was, he's 16, David. And so, you know, she's going to find a job. So if Ken Corday's like, you know, for the foreseeable future, I mean, fuck off, you piece of shit.
Well, and
I mean, she's not going to come back to that show. And if she does, I'll be pissed at her. Anyway, sorry, rant over.
I want to – well, you're actually sort of leading into something that I want to discuss. And so I'm going to mention what I want to discuss and then tell an antidote, and then we'll discuss it so you guys can think about it. if you aren't confused already.
You have plenty of time, Luke. Who do you think you are, the moderator?
I want you guys to be thinking about where you – I mean, we've discussed it in some respect, but Drake and Deidre, where you'd like them to end up. Because I have a place where I'd like Drake to end up, and it's not on CBS, that's for sure. So be thinking about that, because I want to go around the circle and see where you'd like to see where they end up. I was talking to my manager today at my day job, and I said the whole world has basically – the daytime world has just been turned on its ear. Deidre Hall was fired, and he goes, when I was in college, Days of Our Lives was my soap. And he says that was the – and everybody and their mother knows who that is. He said – I'm shocked that they would do this. And this is someone who hasn't watched soaps in probably 20 years. And I was like, you know what? If you take and do that and you have all these people such as him and other people who have had memorable moments with her character and this actress, it's literally Eric Braeden, Susan Lucci, and Deidre Hall. If you take and have that, that show is so screwed. But moving on to where we'd like to see them end up. Jamie wrote a great wishful casting for Drake Hoesen, and then also one for Deidre Hall. He can talk about those in a moment. One of the comments that showed up, and I don't remember the commenter who made it on the blog, they suggested Dimitri on All My Children.
No, of I all did the, that.
That was you? Okay, I wasn't sure who did it because I couldn't remember. I know it was in the comment section. The thought of him as Dimitri opposite Susan Lucci is my favorite of all the suggestions for him. I know other people have other ideas, but that's my favorite suggestion for him. Deidre, I know she'll end up somewhere. It's only a matter of time. I don't really have a particular role because I haven't been watching soaps long enough to be able to pull a famous character out that could be recast and just mention it. But Mike, if you wanted to see them where they would end up, where would you like to see Drake and Deidre end up?
Well, I guess since they're on the West Coast, my thought was that that's where I would keep them. I could see Drake showing up on General Hospital, but I don't know in what kind of capacity because I don't watch that show, so I don't really know enough about the characters. I kind of feel that from listening to you guys talk about it that he might be a good fit for a character that would be opposite somebody or whatever. And I agree with you on Deidre Hall. I do believe that she will just – her possibilities are endless. I mean, she can go anywhere. She can go to primetime. She can go to – stick with daytime. So I think she will definitely be out there without waiting around for Ken to call her back.
Nelson? Where would you like to see them end up? I know you've talked about it a little already, but if you had to choose the most ideal circumstances.
I would love to see Drake Hoesen as the new Lily Snyder on As the World Turns. I think I agree with Mike. Drake Hoesen is GH material, I think. The problem is, you know, with Drake and Deidre, they make so much money. They're going to have to, you know, put their egos aside and have to, you know, take some pay cuts and you know, debate, you know, the pluses and negatives of do you want to keep acting in this industry or, you know, take a break. I mean, I think, you know, Drake and Deidre should call Steve Burton and be the new spokespeople for Mon Ami Juice. I mean, they're going to make way more money than being in daytime. I make more money than people in daytime. I mean, it's scary, but I think Deidre Weiner is the only show that can, A, write for her, B, afford her, and she'll never leave, and it'd be great. And so that's, to me, that's it. I don't think Brian Franz, you know, I think Brian Franz may steal her, but come on. I mean, Brian Franz can't bring, you know, water back to a desert. I mean, it's like he screws up, he's bungled up every comeback known to man. I mean, he'd screw up Jesus's resurrection if he could. So,
he certainly screwed up your girl's return, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Thank God he's moved on from One Life to Live, from what I can tell. But, yeah, I think Drake would be, I'm a huge Michael Nader fan, and as long as Drake, you know, Hoveson doesn't do any drugs, he could keep his job and all my children. But, you know, he could pull a Mary Beth Evans, and, you know, I'm sure Barbara Bloom is trying to call these people up. They could go to Azul Turns, and, you know, he could play Greg Montgomery, because apparently they'll let anyone play that role this month. So, I don't know. I Deidre Hall, definitely Y&R. Drake Hoveson may just call you guys up. Can I be the new podcast member? I don't know.
Okay. Tom?
Are we doing – because I'm confused about this question. Are you asking me, like, if we had our druthers, like, budget be damned? Because
– Yes, that's basically – it's entirely hypothetical.
Okay, because Nelson wasn't kidding. It's not even so much taking a pay cut. It's like taking a third of what they were making before. I mean, all of these shows are now running on such a small budget. Nobody can afford them. I think, frankly, I don't think either one is going to get a contract role. I think after about 6 months, one of them will probably get picked up for a short-term role. But, you know, just to get a rating spike. But I don't think any show can afford either one. I really don't. I agree that Deirdre would be great on Y&R. I can see her on B&B as well. I actually wouldn't mind seeing her on B&B doing something kind of glamorous and fashionable, just as a change of pace from Marlena. Not the Marlena.
When did they do that over there?
You know what I mean. Well, that's a good point too. That's yeah. Well, we're talking about if I had my druthers. If I had my druthers. That's what I'd love to say.
That might not be bad because she could definitely pop up that show a little bit. You know,
well, Deirdre is like a fashion mogul, kind of like to take over the Darlene Conley role on that show, who, you know, not like crazy like Pam, but kind of a Dynasty-esque kind of character would be kind of fun to watch, I think, and it would give her something different to play, and I think her fans would really enjoy that. Y&R is a fantastic idea. I'm all for that. And Drake, you know, I like the Dimitri idea. I don't know. They're so identifiable with their characters. It's going to be a real problem for either one to be successful at a show within the first. I even go as far as to say the first year after they get fired. You know, no one's going to pick them up in February. It's they're too identifiable, and it's not going to work. First of all, no one can afford them, and second of all, it's just. I don't know if anybody sees them as anybody other than John and Marlena. They're so – Deirdre's done other things, absolutely, but
– But look at Katie McClain. Who was more identifiable as Dixie Cooney, and she kicked ass as Rosanna?
Hell to the yeah.
As the world
I agree. I totally agree, but we're dealing with a different world now.
Yeah.
If anything, Deidre Hall could show up on As the World Turns as yet the newer Lily.
Let me tell you, right? World Turns is not paying somebody even $500,000 to come in and play a character over the age of 50.
So Lucinda had Lily at 4 years old?
Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to be funny. You did not have to point out the age inequities in my funniness. Jamie?
Well, you know, I did those wishful castings, and like I'd like to see Deirdre do something different. So I would like to see her play a bitch. So that's why I thought Diane Jenkins. But to be honest, if I was Deirdre Hall's agent, I'd be talking to these today, part five, Today Show at Night type programs, or you know, I think Deirdre's persona, her international acclaim, lends itself to being a talking head. I could see her. God, please let them fire Kathy Lee and let Deirdre Hall give us the fourth hour of today. I mean, that I think that would be the – because she almost had a talk show a couple of years ago. And, you know, I think she left. She didn't do that because of Day. She just keeps on giving loyalty to this show. So I would actually like to see her, you know, do something as a personality. You know, because, I mean, yeah, I did the wishful castings, and I think that's fun. But the realities are – Brian Franz doesn't write for his shows. I mean, doesn't allow vets on his shows that are there. I mean, Jeannie Francis gets to come back for two months, and they give her a cookie and a pat on the ass and send her on her way. So, and that, you know, so they're not going to write for somebody else's vets. I mean, Laura Wright's on her way to coming out for Christmases and Thanksgiving. She's knocking on 40's door, and Franz don't play that over there. So
you don't think that Drake could a great Cassadine?
Well, you know, I did say that. I love Drake, but that was just more of, you know, those things are for fun for me because I love Drake. Drake is suited to Days of Our Lives, but there is a reason that Matt LeBlanc made fun of him for 10 years on Friends. I don't think Drake is some great thespian, so I don't think he's gonna, you know, if Passions was still on, he'd have a job the next day, but I don't think that they're gonna shell out, you know, the kind of money that you guys say he makes for, I mean, I'd love to, I think he would fit on GH, but, you know, as a, but what would he be? He'd be a rival mob boss, and, you know, I mean, we gave other suggestions. I would like to see him as Jeff Weber, you know, but that's in the wishful land of, that's the wishful land of them giving Monica something to do, and they're not going to do it.
I was just going to say, do you really think we're going to see a Leslie Charleston and Drake Hogeson romance? Because let me play that.
So, exactly. So it's not going to happen.
Wow, Jeff Weber, that would be pretty cool. But here, that would be good. That's Elizabeth's father, right? Jeff Weber's Liz's dad? Okay.
When they fired RKK for Peter Reckle, that was the beginning of the end, because that's when they started playing fast and loose with their casting and started letting actors demand, you know, where the future of the show was going. And I know, like, I knew right at that moment, I was like, because that was kind of unheard of at that time, you know. You know, you would fire a recast, even a popular recast, but RKK was goddamn superstar on that show, and I'm not saying anything bad about Peter Reckle. I like him. You know, he's fine. But when they started doing that shit back in, what, early 90s, I was like, this is not good. You know, you don't reward actors who bolt, you know, your show and leave fans in the lurch to try to pursue the bright lights of Hollywood. And when it doesn't happen, you cost a great, fine, sexy, goddamn, hot, pornographic actor his job. And, you know, they've done that. Like, they keep doing it. Josh Taylor is Roman. I mean, seriously, that man is still working? Say what you want about Drake Hogeston, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, well, I am always famous for One Life to Live is my favorite soap. But Days is the first soap I watched for 2 years. It was the only soap I watched. I was obsessed. I had Deidre Hall, Soap Opera Digest covers. Framed in my bedroom. I thought she was the most beautiful woman I've ever seen, and I was obsessed with her long before I, you know, had laid eyes on Andrea Evans. But Drake Hogeston, and I've seen some YouTube clips of him from those days. Drake Hogeston was much better in the early days.
Oh, yeah.
And he's
one
of the top recasts ever. And they started dismantling that stuff at Days. It was the first show that did that. They dismantled Drake as Roman, and they did RKK, and it went on and on and on and on, and it's still going to happen. I mean, I don't understand why they brought back Brady if they're going to get rid of his parents.
Exactly. What is the point of Brady without John or Marlene or Isabella?
No one will be over 32 when this is done. No one.
That's fine, but let them act. I'm fine. I'm done with Bo and Hope. I'm done with even Jarlena. I'm fine. These people, Dina Higley can't write a greeting card, you know. So I don't – it's fine. If they have to leave, it's fine. But if I had, you know, a Kirsten Storms on the show, you know, a Melissa Tumero, then maybe I'd be interested. But they don't have anything. I mean, they have nothing. And they – you know, this is a show that employs alleged scabbers. And I don't think Days – I mean, Tom, has Days had a worse year ever than this year, and yet they have lost, quote, according to Nielsen's, no viewers. James Riley died. I mean, he's rolling the grave now. I mean, Bill Bell's taking a rest. It's like, James E. Riley.
On that note, I guess we'll go around the circle and give final thoughts as to what this might mean. If there's something that we have not covered in this discussion, feel free to mention it as your final thought. Tom, let's have you go first.
Thanks. What is my final thought on this? I just feel awful for the fans. I really do. I feel like this is the same problem that keeps coming up with Days for the last 2 years, and the only people who are really suffering at the end of the day are the fans. You know, these people who've devoted so much time and so much energy to this show, and you know, General Hospital is maybe the only show that could give, like, you know, rabid fan bases a run for their money on Days, because they're so devoted to these characters, more so than any other soap I've ever worked on. And I just, I feel terrible for them. They get tossed back and forth. They're totally used and abused. I don't understand why nobody's learned their lesson. I don't understand why they didn't learn their lesson from a year ago, or from the Salem serial killers, or from what's going on with Guiding Light now. I don't understand why nobody's looking at this and saying, hey, we're doing the exact same thing that other shows before us have done and have failed at. I don't know why they think they're so special that they can, that they're going to make it through this, because they're not, because no other soap has. And unfortunately, it's you know, the definition of insanity is watching somebody do the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. And that's exactly what's happening here. And it's frustrating, and it's aggravating, and it's like banging your head against the brick wall. And I'm just feel sorry for all the fans who had to put up with it. And that's my final thought.
Mike, as a new viewer, what's your final thought?
Well, as a new viewer, on a more regular basis, I'm not unaware of all the history. But my final thought, having said what has been said around the table, is that Josh Taylor is still Chris Kosacek. I cannot look at that guy and see him as Roman.
Neither can I.
So it drives me crazy.
Because no,
he's not Roman to me. After all this time, he's still not Roman. And I don't watch the show as long as a lot of other people have. So that's my final thought.
Oh, I love when they show the flashbacks, or like when they like I looked at a YouTube clip of John of Marlena first meeting John, and Chris is right there with his buddy Marlena, and now it's so stupid. God.
Yeah, jump the shark.
Nelson, your final thought?
Well, at least we got the autistic kid still. thank God for Theo. Who knew black kids were autistic? Anyway, I guess the only thing that can top this is that Gina frickin' Higley wins an Emmy Award for best writing, because you know it's just gonna get worse from here, folks. It's just gonna get worse. My final
That's
thought
true.
Is I don't want to be Ken Corday on Judgment Day. I definitely want to have a front row seat with a huge bag of popcorn and a bottle of wine, because that man, I'm sorry, I mean, I've never met him. I never want to interview him, never want to speak to him. I'm sure he's the nicest guy in the world. I'm sure his golf game is amazing. But what he has done to his parents' legacy is just, I mean, I would just point a gun in my head at this point. I was listening to Sweeney Todd earlier, the soundtrack, and Stephen Sondheim, there's this song called No Place Like London, and it reminds me of Salem. It should be called No Place Like Salem. And it goes, there's a hole in the world like a great black pit, and the vermin of the world inhabit it. And its morals aren't worth what a pig could spit, and it goes by the name of Salem. At the top of the hole sits a privileged few, making mock of the vermin in the lonely zoo, turning beauty to filth and greed. There's a hole in the world like a great black pit, and it's filled with people who are filled with shit, and the vermin of the world inhabit it. And that's how I feel about Ken Corday. That's
okay.
My final thought.
Okay. Jamie, your final thought.
Well, my final thought is, after 30 years, I'm done watching. And it would have been easier. He would have saved me a lot of time if he would have just taken his 9-iron and smashed the hourglass to bits. And at least that would have been more dramatic and interesting than what I'm seeing on his show. I'm over it. I'm done. I never thought I would ever say that about Days of Our Lives. But I'm not going to sit here and continue to torture myself, because this stuff starts making you sick after a while. Watching these shows die on the vine makes you want to throw up if you loved this industry. And I think most of us here do, or, you know, all of us do. And it's just like, no, I would rather focus on Y&R. I give one life to live hell, but it's nowhere near this state. You know, I'd rather focus on the ones that are actively fighting like hell to keep the genre going a little bit better than to watch Ken Corday see this as just like a hedge fund. I mean, put your money in fucking Texaco and be done with it. There's no honor. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Admit you don't give a damn about daytime television and get out of the business. But I'm not going to sit here and watch you bring on, you know, all these passions rejects and wreck my show that I've watched since I was knee-high to a duck. I'm over it.
Yeah.
My final thought is this. We posted on the blog, but we would encourage you to call and leave your comments about this and any other upcoming further developments that may take place over the coming days at Days of Our Lives by calling 917-677-9757. We will add your comments to the end of this episode because some of you have already called in, and the end of upcoming episodes as well. Also, if you want a recap on what's been going on with Days of Our Lives over the past summer, I have brought back the Days of Our Lives turmoil listing, which basically gives a timeline of everything that has been going on, from the Ed Scott scandal to whether or not people have been hired or fired, and now Days of Our Lives renewal and the Drake Hogeston and Deidre Hall firings. It is back. It will stay up as things continue to develop over the coming days and weeks. It will be interesting to see how long it or how big of a list develops. Jamie, I understand you have one more thing.
Yeah, I just thought if you really want to see some riveting, riveting writing, go on to Dina Higley's blog where she spends hours talking about her kid reading those that vampire movie book that's coming out, Twilight. She gets really creative and very, you know, wordy, and maybe that's why she doesn't have time to write the show she's getting paid $2 million to write, because she's too busy blogging. Okay, sorry.
And stealing people's jobs.
And on that note, that is the final word for this episode. We hope that you have thoroughly enjoyed this episode. Tom, thank you.
I'm sure I'll be talking to you guys in 2 weeks.
Or sooner, depending on who else
gets. We're going to have to put you on contract.
Exactly.
depending on how many of the big four get taken down or other major developments that might come about, you could be getting further exclusive.
We'll just send it out on your Blackberries.
Can I add one more thing, though? I did really think the funniest like line on this podcast was that Mike is a new Days viewer. I thought that was just like an oxymoron.
He had to start watching about 2 years ago when we launched the CBS episodes because he had never watched them before, and he was tired of hearing us.
He was forced to watch it. I mean, exactly. We thought about sending him to Cambodia.
I cracked the whip. And
it's kind of funny because I missed the best part of the show and on and off over the years. I've tried to watch it.
You were smart, though. You're an asshole person. So Hogan going on that show, you were smart. Like, we all expected the show to be, the most creatively, written show ever. And of course, Tom knows. That wasn't allowed to happen. So you did have great instincts.
Y&R is Hogan's redemption, though.
Oh, exactly. That's what I was just going to say. If you have not watched Y&R, if you look at what he did at As the World Turns, what he was not allowed to do at Days of Our Lives, and then what you see that he's done at Y&R, it is blatantly obvious that he had absolutely no control of what could go on at Days of Our Lives. Because if you look at what he did As the World Turns and Young and the Restless, both –
all the Days viewers, everybody in daytime that still loves soap should just watch Y&R and be done with it. You'll have time. You can read books. You'll have sex again. You won't be on these message boards calling people names because of E-Jammy or worrying about if you raped her. You'll have some sunlight. Your skin will look better. Just watch Y&R and forget the rest of them.
Seriously,
that happened because I really – okay, Hogan Sheffer is seriously one of the most super crazy, talented new writers we've ever had, like since James Riley and Michael Malone. But I really believe, because Hogan Sheffer couldn't write his show, and he was wanting to prove himself, that he went to Y&R and he just took out his dick and just masturbated all over that goddamn script and said, "I'm going to write you a goddamn show, Ken Corday, and this is what you could have had."
God.
And he did. And I think it was thanks to Ken Corday.
God.
Hogan could have maybe phoned it in a bit. You know what I mean? Like, he is, like, so creatively unsatisfied at Days that he came in and was like, I got the rat. And he wrote. Oh, my God, he wrote. So thank you, Ken Corday. Thank you. Once
no,
again.
No, I got to say, for as crass as it is, Nelson's not too far off from that.
I need freaking brain bleach. On that note, so long, folks.
You need to get masturbatory.
So long, folks.
So long, Days of My Life. All right.
Hello, I just wanted to leave a quick comment about Days of Our Lives. I am so livid that there's a possibility that the actors that played John Black and Philip Kiriakis could be leaving due to money talks. When they're bringing on all of these new characters, the two guys from Passions, John from All My Children, and Sandra Burns that played Amanda from Another World, they're great actors, but rather than spending the money on them, why not put it back into the cast that they already have and secure them? And the fact that they were only renewed for 18 months doesn't bode well for them. I would think that they'd want to make the fans happy and maybe they can get a longer contract. And Jess and that girl, Melanie, oh, she needs to go. She destroyed a core character in Nick, and they're sacrificing Nick like a sacrificial lamb and putting him out to pasture in order to do what with this character. Nobody cares about Melanie. She needs to go. This is Sherry. Thanks. Love your podcast. Bye-bye.
I was reading about Deidre and Drake being let go from Days. And I don't watch Days as much, maybe once or twice a week just to catch up. And I do a lot of, like, just reading summaries and stuff. I've been a fan since, like, the 90s, off and on. And I'm really worried with a couple things. One, I understand that, you know, show gets renewed, they have to cut some people, but why not cut people that aren't tied to story and tied to core characters? Why are they banking on these newbies that haven't really done much to show their acting chops that they'll be able to carry a show? And secondly, something really kind of scares me. It takes me back to the entire whole Salem, you know, stalker in 2003, 2004 when they let go all these people back then. You know, they were kind of hoping that these people would just stay home and not work, you know, because they were eventually going to bring them all back. And that's what kind of has me scared now. Are they just going to hope that Deidre and Drake sit on their butts for about 6 months to a year? And then when they get closer to another renewal date and they hear, oh, you're going to get renewed again, then Ken's going to be like, well, we want you back now because we got renewed for like 3 more years. Well, I hope to God that Drake and Deidre book something really fast. If it not be another soap, if it be a primetime show and they find success. And I would be happy to see them either on General Hospital or Young the Restless. In fact, Deidre was actually an original cast member on Young the Restless. She played Barbara Anderson from 73 to 75. So, although I like your idea of her possibly playing Diane Jenkins, I think maybe GH could use her as the world turns if she would move to New York, or how even Guiding Light. With them bringing back Grant Alexander, at least they're trying. I don't know what the hell Days is doing. So I think anything besides Days is, right now is going to be a good thing. And I'm really worried about Eric Molstoff and what him coming on as Brady and then releasing John or Drake is going to do for his character. So, but I'll be listening and commenting soon. So take care, guys. Bye.
It's very obvious to me that NBC wants to get out of the soap business because to fire their two top, in my opinion, their two top stars, the big names that they have on that network is a travesty, and I can't believe it. And I probably won't be watching Days anymore because of it, because those two are my favorites, and I just can't believe that they would do something as stupid as to get rid of them.
Hi, I'm calling because of the firing of Drake Hodgson and Deidre Hall, and I'm really upset with this. I think that Days is making a huge mistake. I hear it's kind of not their fault because they can't really afford some of these people, but seems to me like they're pretty much canning their show because they're getting rid of, you know, two legendary soap people here. So it's definitely a huge loss. And from what I hear from you, what you guys are saying, there's going to be more people getting canned. So I don't know. I think a lot of Dave's fans are going to be pretty upset. I know I am. But hopefully they'll figure it out and get him back somehow. I don't know. But it seems to me like it's not a good time. But thanks a lot for allowing me to have this message. Bye.
Hi, this is Toya from Seattle, Washington. And I was wondering what any of you thought about the theory that there are people out there that are being hired to purposely bring down the daytime industry to make more room for talk shows and things like that. I personally, in my own opinion, believe that that's exactly what Brian Franz is, but it just seems like some of these things that the executives or what have you are doing are just purposely being destructive to an industry. The whole daytime industry is for veterans, and the way that the veterans are treated in the daytime industry is, it has to be something that is being done from the inside, in my opinion. I was just wondering what you thought, any of you, especially Jamie. I love Jamie. I wanted to know if you thought that there are actually people that are being hired under the guise of bringing daytime back, when in all actuality what the real plan is to just turn viewers away in such a way that they have a legitimate reason, quote-unquote finances, to just do away with the whole thing. Thanks for your time. Bye.
Hi, I wanted to call about the firing of Dieter Hall and Drake Hogerson. I've watched the show for about 25, 26 years since Marlena was targeted by Jake Kosacek. I just can't believe they would lose the two most popular performers on the show and the characters. If the show really wanted to turn itself around, they would just fire every actor under 25, keep John Marlena, Bo Hope, Doug Julie, Tony and Anna, Stefano, maybe Sammy, EJ, and Brady, and get rid of everybody else. That being said, I think Days' loss is General Hospital's gain. We've heard rumors for a while that Drake would make a great recast of Jeff Weber. I think that's true. Bring him back to Port Charles with a wife played by Deidre Hall, have him turn out to be Sam's father, bringing him into the triangle with Alexis, but also have Deidre's character turn out to be the niece of Helena Cassadine. I think that would bring Helena into it, into that formula. You could have them revealed to have a son who turns out to be gay, pair him up with Lucas Jones. Helena would not want to see her relative paired up with a Spencer. It would just reactivate the Cassadines, keep the Spencers back into it, the Joneses, and give front burner storylines to two of daytime's popular performers. Now, to make this happen, some things at General Hospital have to happen. We need to get the mob out of Port Charles. To do this, bring back Brenda, send Sonny off with her to live in Italy. You can keep Jason if he hits his head and becomes Jason Quartermain again. And you need to get rid of Bob Guza and hire Sri Rao as General Hospital's full-time head writer. Anyway, if anybody knows anybody at General Hospital, please pass on my thoughts. Thank you.
Hi, this is Teresa Smith, a longtime viewer of Days of Our Lives. Been watching for at least 35 years, started watching with my grandmother. I want to say that I believe King Corday just committed soap opera suicide. Too bad he didn't start with himself and Dean Higley. Instead, he had to start with the core and foundation of a historic soap opera that has become a part of, you know, the fans' lives. This show cannot survive without them. I don't know if this is a stunt or not, but even if it is, it's cruel, you know, it's sadistic, and it shows the total lack of respect that Mr. Corday has for the viewing audience. If he thinks that EJ and Sammy can in any way hold this show together on their own, and the rest of the young actors who nobody really has an interest in, you know, he's even stupider than I thought. There is not one solid storyline going on, nothing to bring us back. The only reason I've watched for this long is in the hope of John and Marlena working things out and maybe some Steve and Kayla storyline coming to the forefront and some Stefano excitement. But none of that has happened, and now I don't think it ever will. And John and Marlena's last day will certainly be mine, if I even watch that day. It will depend. I don't think Dina is up to the task of writing a decent farewell for these two. She doesn't know how to write romance. Everything is rushed and shallow. I mean, there's nothing. You feel nothing. I've felt nothing for so long that I'm used to feeling nothing. So, and quite frankly, if this was one of Sony's conditions to King Corday, he should have had the balls to tell them to take their offer and shove it and sell this soap to another network. I think he owes the fans and his parents' legacy that much respect, and I have absolutely no respect for him. Of course, I lost respect for him a long time ago. But anyway, that's it for me. I'm one of millions that will be tuning out, at the very least, the last day of John and Marlena's appearance on Days of Our Lives, because as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't exist anymore. Soap opera suicide, Ken. You should have taken yourself out first and Dina Higley along with you and turned it over to someone who actually cared about the show. But I'll relive it on YouTube, where it's actually good. Maybe somebody will play, maybe SoapNet will play reruns of Days of Our Lives when it was actually decent. Maybe it'll come out in a box set or something. But I want to remember the days the way it was, not the way it's been for the last 3 or 4 years. It's a sad day. I've shed tears. I've been angry. I don't know that I'm resigned yet, but I'm disgusted. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye.
I could not believe it when I read on my lunch break that Deidre Hall and Drake Hogan were fired from Days of Our Lives. Stupidest move. You can't talk about AMC now because they treat their vets worse. Say goodbye to Patch and Kayla. Maybe Bo and Holt. Definitely Lexi and Abe. And they're going to have people on like Melanie and Chelsea. I love Chelsea, but sometimes she's annoying. Victor's almost gone. You hardly see him. Grandpa Sean gone. Soon, Grandma Kate. They have a great character with the guy who plays Nick, and they're writing him as a killer. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think there are 4 worst shows on the air right now. Well, 3. Guiding Light, As the World Turns, and definitely Days. The others can be saved. I don't think these 3 stand much of a chance to be saved. I know they were renewed to 211. Let's see if anyone's going to be watching that time. I seriously doubt. I mean, I was an avid Days watcher. I watched The Exorcism. I loved Carly. Liked the whole thing with the girl who played Ashley and Susan and all that. And after a while, I just stopped watching Days and got back to AMC. And, you know, I'm sorry. Days needs to just, the sad needs to run out. That's it. There are no more Days of their lives. I mean, for so many years, Drake and Deidre were their bread and butter, and that's the way they treat them. They are dooming this poor show. I believe that NBC doesn't want to do soaps anymore, and anything of quality except probably reality show, The Biggest Loser. Ugh. I just can't believe it.
You know, when I read it, I was just kind of really confused why they even bothered with getting the show renewed. I mean, if you can't keep the cast, what's the point? What do they want, the town name? They want the sets? I mean, it's not, you know, the younger class, it always works, but they're not the show, not yet. I mean, most of those people have been changed out within the last year or so. I mean, that's not Days of Our Lives. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, I don't understand what they're doing.
Hi, Daytime Confidential. I'm calling probably like a lot of people in regards to Deidre Hall and Drake Hogan being fired from Days of Our Lives. I am outraged. I think it's a terrible thing, and I was always so glad with soaps being up and down, really doing some terrible ratings and some horrible stories the last 5 or so years. The Days of Our Lives, even when they were writing bad stories, they weren't one of those shows that was really screwing around with the fabric of their show, getting rid of people that they never should have gotten rid of, that kind of stuff. And I thought that they always, you know, they might have been doing some things they shouldn't have done, but basically they were still okay. It was always very fixable. They just needed somebody to come in and write better stories. But I feel like they've crossed that line now, and they're really starting to mess with the fabric of the show, and things are really going to start to fall apart, I feel, because Deidre Hall is the very last person they should have gotten rid of from that show. I would have fired anybody else to keep her on there. I think they made a terrible mistake doing that, and I really hope this is some kind of ploy or trick, which would also be horrible, but would be better than just her not coming back at all. So hopefully this is something that they'll fix, and maybe they'll realize the mistake and undo it or something. I don't know, but this seems like the beginning of the end, and I'm not prone to saying that, but I think this is going to be the start of something very bad for the show, unfortunately.
I think, first of all, they need to fire the head writer, Dina Higley, because she is just totally messing up with this show. I mean, Deidre and Drake have been a huge part of this show for many, many years. And then for Sammy and Lucas to be split up like this last year, this time, and it's just, the whole thing has just become a huge mess. And the super couples are coming into non-super couples, and it just, nothing's making any sense. They're bringing on new characters, and then they're getting rid of people that have been around forever. I have been a huge supporter of this show for more than 30 years, and I just think it's sad that, you know, the next generation has to be brought into something like this mess. And I think it's sad but true. What's going to happen is, it's the same thing that happened to Passions. It will be gone. And I think it's just totally unbelievable that I'm speechless. I run Days Daily Chat on MySpace and everything, and the people, my friends on there, are just totally appalled, and we're all banding together, and I hate to say it, but a lot of them are saying they're not going to watch Days anymore. They're going to lose all their support, and the support is what they need to keep it on the air, so they better be doing something and doing something quick, because other than that, they're not going to have anybody watching anymore. They're already talking about watching other daytime shows such as All My Children. So I guess we'll see what happens. I also thank you for your website and for your podcast and things. I just enjoy it very much, and I thank you guys for all the work that you've done very hard. Thank you, and have a great day. Bye-bye.